How do you do? Ever had to make a tough decision? One that would offend your friends and family? One that was counter to everything you believed all your life? Well, the man in this story faced a decision like that, and he couldn't bring himself to choose, not until his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in history, brings you true life stories produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. The image we have of the homeless is one of neglect, tattered and battered by life. They come to Pacific Garden Mission where the doors are always open and the welcome always sincere. That's because folks there know something they can't wait to share, the truth that sets people free. Many came to the mission and found freedom, then stayed to tell others. Thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts, the mission offers fresh clothing, hearty meals, and a safe bunk for the night, even medical and dental treatment in the mission clinic. Mission counselors and pastors reveal our true purpose in life, to know and glorify the living God because we are made in His image. And that same message goes out to the world in 10 languages through this program. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3072 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Are you going to tell your parents?
Tell them what?
The many things you've practiced in your faith that's not in the Bible.
Craig, I'd love to tell them, but I don't know how yet.
Well, I understand, Laurie, but they need to know.
They'll find out soon enough when we don't take the children to the church.
Yeah, and they'll blame me.
Not when they know the truth. And the truth is, we've been taught a bunch of things that just aren't in the Bible.
So you will have to tell them.
Eventually.
Where do we go from here?
Why don't you ask Mark? He's the one who started all this.
The couple in our drama had embarked on a journey seeking truth from the Bible for their children's sake. This is the story of where that journey led. It's the conclusion of the true testimony of Craig and Laurie Hartman right now on Unshackled.
I was 27 and a lawyer with an international firm in New York, something I dreamed of being from the age of six. I married my high school sweetheart, who was from an Italian family, while I was Jewish, though not very religious. I hadn't returned to synagogue since my bar mitzvah. Before marriage, we agreed to teach our children what we learned from the Bible, and thereafter they would choose their faith for themselves. Then a man at work raised a tsunami of doubt.
Good morning, Craig.
I'm not so sure about that, Mark.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men.
Ever the optimist. Congratulations.
On what?
Laurie made a crucial decision. The evidence from the Bible has convinced her to leave her church, like you.
Wow, that takes courage. I know that it was a difficult decision.
Well, it also takes someone who's willing to share what they know about the truth, which you did.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
To the Jew first, huh?
Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not.
You never let up, do you?
No, you wouldn't either if you knew what I know.
So what's the next step?
Well, why not read the Old Testament together, very carefully?
The Hebrew Scriptures?
Exactly.
Starting in Genesis?
Start with prophecy. If you have doubts about God, you won't when you see how accurately He predicts the future through His prophets.
My grandfather would be shocked if he knew I was delving into the Bible like this. I barely made bar mitzvah.
Is he still alive?
Yes, he's not religious, though. Because Mark and I were both new hires, we worked in a little two-man office among hundreds in the firm. He piqued my interest by giving me a book on messianic prophecy and showing me Ezekiel chapter 26, a prophetic passage about the destruction of Tyre and Lebanon.
You see, this prophecy satisfies the requirements of being specific and written long before the event. God spoke through Ezekiel, saying he would cause many nations to come against Tyre. Here, you read.
And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and it shall become a spoil to the nations. And they shall make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise. And they shall break down thy walls, and destroy thy pleasant houses. And they shall lay thy stones, and thy timber, and thy dust in the midst of the water.
And that's exactly what happened. First, the Babylonians came against Tyre, but didn't destroy the city. Several centuries later, Alexander the Great came along and finished the job. Tyre was never rebuilt, and the remains of the causeway can still be seen today.
So God fulfills prophecy through people?
Primarily. But he can work through his creation, too. Earthquakes, animals, floods.
Well, how can we know God's prophets from the false prophets?
Well, listen to what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him.
This guy, Mark, sure knows a lot about the Bible.
The book he gave me about messianic prophecy is amazing.
Oh?
Well, I never realized the Hebrew Scriptures foretold so much about the Messiah.
Seems to me both our religions failed to teach us the revelations of God in the Bible.
Way back in Genesis chapter 3, God said the Messiah would come through the seed of a woman. And then God said he would come through the line of Abraham and the tribe of Judah. He'd be a descendant of David.
I think that's Jesus.
The Psalms are loaded with prophecy. They tell how he'll be mocked and crucified, raised from the dead. Who knew?
I knew they gambled for Jesus' clothing and gave him vinegar to drink.
Lori, it was all prophesied. And he'd be betrayed by a friend. That's all specifically foretold in the Hebrew Bible. Even some of the rabbinic writings support the messianic prophecies.
Makes you wonder.
You know, Mark's been talking to me about evolution, too. He gave me some scientific studies to read. In fact, he set up a meeting with an expert.
We'll be prepared when our children start asking questions.
We were expecting our first baby and wanted to raise him in truth. So we studied archaeology and learned that it supports the biblical record through known places like Hezekiah's tunnel in Israel.
So evolution really is just a theory, not a fact.
It makes you wonder why our education system has taught it as fact at schools.
Maybe we should homeschool our children.
First, we must know what we believe.
I think we're on the right track.
Well, me too, Lori. I'm just not sure about Jesus.
What else did you learn that's interesting, Craig?
Well, the biological function of human or animal life requires the full organism to exist and be functioning. Animals can't function with partial development of vital organs like the heart or the liver.
God programmed it all from the beginning.
He sure did.
After all, he did say, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind."
Whether it was trees or birds or animals, God said they would reproduce after their own kind.
Right. Dogs don't have cats.
No. But man has experimented with the natural order and changed many things.
So this man we're going to visit is one of Mark's friends or another expert?
He's a friend. He and Mark rented this place as a weekend retreat. Mark and his friend invited us to go to church with them on Sunday, and I liked both the simplicity of the church and the people. When the message was over, the pastor gave an invitation.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Eternal life is yours for the asking when you come to God in repentance and faith. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." If you would like to be saved, come forward now.
I felt an odd curiosity of what would happen if I stepped out, but I resisted. During this time, our first son was born, and we took a hiatus from our studies. In the fall, Mark invited us to a weekly Bible study in his apartment. So we went, taking our baby along.
So, we've looked at the prophecy in Micah that says the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem, and the one in Daniel that tells when he would come, and Zechariah chapter 12 told how the Lord would be pierced. Now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 53, a clear picture of the Messiah. Lori, would you read first?
Yes. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him.
Who is this he?
We believe it's Jesus, the Messiah.
So what did you think of the group?
Nice people.
They're very serious about their faith, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up with animosity toward religious people because they were hypocrites. These people seem different, sincere about their faith.
What struck you the most about what we studied?
That God could be pierced, and the suffering servant.
That brought tears to my eyes. He was wounded for our transgressions. All we, like sheep, have gone astray.
It's a very poetic passage, Isaiah 53.
It's interesting that we started all this so we could help our children. Instead, we're the ones being affected.
As the Old Testament portrait of the Messiah was forming in my mind, Mark led me through the New Testament references that pointed to Jesus as the fulfillment of the prophecies. Another intriguing and challenging event was the conversion of the Apostle Paul. First, he persecuted Christians, and then he became one. What happened to him? Obviously, something extraordinary. And then we focused on the resurrection. If the tomb was really empty, he must be God.
Jesus predicted his own death and resurrection. He said, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth."
I'm amazed at how many people saw him after the crucifixion. I had no idea. No one can refute such evidence.
Not only the disciples, 500 witnesses, the Bible says.
Man, what about the theory that the disciples stole his body?
If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, it's all a lie. Yet most of the disciples died terrible deaths because of their faith in Christ. Would you be willing to die for something you knew was a lie?
No way. No one would really do that. I had not discussed these studies in detail with my family, not even my maternal grandfather, with whom I was very close. He was not religious, but he was brilliant. And he had encouraged me greatly throughout my life, especially after my father left the family and remarried. I loved to talk to my grandfather. Come on, Grandpa, answer the phone. This is the third time I've called today. He's still not answering.
Maybe he's out.
This isn't like him. I've called at different times. There's no answer. I'm going over to check on him.
Do you have a key?
My aunt does. I'll have her meet me there. We found him on the floor of his bedroom and rushed him to the hospital. But he was in bad shape with pneumonia and struggling to hang on. The thought of losing my grandfather was almost more than I could bear.
In a moment, we'll hear how this crisis affected Craig. We often get inquiries like this. Do you have pamphlets available of Unshackled stories to mail to a man that is incarcerated? The answer is yes. We've published more than 40 booklets that faithfully retell Unshackled dramas just as they were broadcast. Every subject matter, from alcoholism to unbelief, each one reveals the love of God as he draws the person through others and through circumstances. Our God is faithful. Get a copy of one of these booklets that are great gifts or conversation starters to read and to share as God leads. Your first booklet is free. Simply write and ask. Let us know what subject matter is of interest, like drugs or abuse, and we'll try to match your interest to one of our stories. but every book that displays God's passion to save each life, no matter how wasted, and every book that ends with a prayer of salvation so anyone can read it and be saved. So write and ask for your free copy of one of our Unshackled booklets. The address is Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
How is he?
About the same. He must have fallen, and they don't know how long he laid there. Pneumonia set in, the doctors say.
I'm sorry, Craig. I know how much you love him.
He got me through times when life was so hard. I was working two jobs to get through college, and he always encouraged me. He always believed in me.
You've been more like a son than a grandson to him.
He's always been a part of my life. I could bike to his house when I needed someone to talk to. I love that old man.
I know you do.
He has to pull through. I can't imagine life without him, Lori. But it was not to be. Several times my grandfather seemed to be recovering, but a month after he was hospitalized, he died. I was devastated. And that was the end of our studies with Mark, as I mourned for the person who meant more to me than words could say. Life had to go on, but his death left such a void. I had to face the realities of death as never before. Hello?
Craig, it's Mark. How are you?
I'm okay.
Well, I've been wondering about you. Do you like your new job?
Yeah, it's fine. How do you like yours?
Yeah, it's okay. Listen, I know you've been grieving the loss of your grandfather, but I hope you're still reading the Bible.
Well, it's hard to think about eternity when you've lost someone so close to you.
Well, don't think about your grandfather for now. Think about your son. For his sake, you need to continue your study and come to a conclusion.
You may be right about that, Mark, but I'm just not ready. I can't shake the thoughts of my grandfather.
Craig, if I'm right about the Messiah, your grandfather would surely want you to make a decision.
How do you think about eternity when have you lost someone dear to you? Eternity is intimidating. Although I recognized the wisdom of his words, still I procrastinated. Was there something we hadn't considered? Some stone left unturned? I had the nagging feeling that there was some piece of information I didn't know that would affect the decision. More weeks passed. Hello?
Me again, Craig.
What's up, Mark?
Hey, you need to make a decision. It's time.
I want to study more. There might be additional information that will help me.
Craig, you've studied more than anyone I've ever heard of. You need to stop thinking like this and make a decision once and for all.
Well, I'm not making any promises, but I'll think about it.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
That's true. I have sinned against God, but not in a big way.
But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away.
That's what the Day of Atonement is all about.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
What have I overlooked?
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
What if it's true? What if he is the Messiah of the Hebrew prophecies? That was a difficult night for me, because the ramifications were enormous. The next morning, Lori went shopping, and while she was away, I quietly reviewed all the evidence we'd studied. I was left with one simple conclusion. Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. My prayer was simple. Lord, I can see that it's all true. I see that I am a sinner in need of salvation, and you provided that in Jesus, my Messiah. I repent of my sins against you. I believe in you, and I surrender my life to you.
Hello?
I did it, Mark.
You accepted Christ?
I sure did. And I know it was the right thing to do. I feel great, relieved.
That's because all your sins are gone, forgiven.
You're right. And not because you say so, but because the Bible says so.
What did Laurie say?
No, she doesn't know yet.
I'm proud of you, Craig.
Well, I reviewed all the evidence, and there was no other conclusion.
That's a fact.
I don't know what my family will say, but compared with eternity, it can't matter.
So, anything new while I was gone?
Me.
What do you mean?
I made a decision for Christ, Lori. I know that Jesus is the Messiah.
Oh, that was sudden.
Actually, I've thought about it a lot. The last few days and nights, and then this morning.
What happened? I mean, we haven't talked about that for some time.
Not a lot since Grandpa died.
So what changed?
Well, Mark called and encouraged me to make the decision. He's right. You can study all your life, but at some point, you have to choose to believe. Maybe that's what free will is all about.
I'm happy for you, Craig. I know it was a hard decision.
But now that it's made, I see that it was the right decision.
Do you want to start going to church?
Yes. I'll call Mark and see if he can recommend one. Mark recommended a church nearby, and we began attending regularly. Once I was born again, I could tell that Lori was not, but I didn't pressure her. I knew she would get there.
Oh, Craig, it all came together today.
What?
My need for salvation. While I was sitting there in the pew, I knew without doubt that Jesus is the Savior. I confessed my sin and asked him to save me.
Oh, great! It's so obvious once you take the step of faith, isn't it?
I always thought I would go to heaven because I didn't believe that I had done anything bad. I thought I was a good person. How delusional. No one is good enough for God.
Man's pride is amazing, isn't it?
I have to tell my family. It's too good to keep to myself.
Let's tell them together. Lori's family was very upset. They felt betrayed. My mother was fine because I was happy, and that was her main concern. But my father refused to discuss the matter. We were saved in 1989. And Dad tried to ignore all aspects of my salvation for 12 years. My only sibling, a sister, reacted quite differently from the others.
What did she say?
She laughed.
She laughed?
Yeah. She said, "You used to be nothing, and now you want to be everything all at the same time."
What did she mean by that?
Well, I used to have no faith at all. Now, I'm Jewish and a Christian simultaneously.
She doesn't understand.
I tried to explain that I'm Jewish by ancestry and heritage, and that will never change. But I'm also a Christian now because I believe in Jesus.
I understand perfectly.
Some Jews have animosity toward Jesus and Christians.
Why?
Well, it's a long story, Lori. I'm sure that it's like the things we thought all of our lives. And then we researched for the truth and found so many unsubstantiated beliefs. As we served in the church, two issues struck me and weighed on my heart. I wanted Jewish people to consider the evidence, the claims of Jesus, and I wanted to help Christians understand the Jewish roots of their faith. I spoke with several pastors.
Well, I agree with you, Craig. We should know more about the Jewish background of the New Testament and Christianity.
Jesus often quoted and explained quotes from the Old Testament. He said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill."
I agree.
All believers need to have a better understanding and deeper knowledge of the Old Testament, the roots of our faith. Jesus was Jewish. According to the New Testament, he celebrated Passover, Tabernacles, all the festivals.
Of course.
So perhaps there wouldn't be such a chasm between Judaism and Christianity if we understood the significance of the Jewish holidays and the fulfillment of them all in the New Testament.
Well, why don't you start a ministry that bridges the gap?
Because I already have a profession. I'm a lawyer.
Now that's all the more opportunity to work within the church. We are the body of Christ.
Well, I'll think about it.
You know, there's a pastor's fellowship meeting in the city. Why don't you join me?
And that's how our ministry began, helping local churches learn more about Judaism and how it was incorporated in the New Testament. At first, I did it on a part-time basis, but the ministry grew over the years, and I gradually decreased my workload with the firm. Employers and co-workers didn't always understand my commitment to Christ.
Have you made a decision, Craig?
Yeah. I'm going to resign completely and concentrate on the ministry full-time.
It's a big step, Craig.
I know, but I've prayed about it, and I'm sure it's the Lord's will for us.
You could do some consulting now and then. Keep your hand in.
It won't be easy to give up the career I wanted from the age of six. We'll have to sacrifice, too. We won't have as much income.
It's a little scary, but where you go, I go. And since we homeschool the boys, we can travel with you.
We can do this together, Lori. It'll be great.
Well, you've made a lot of contacts, Craig, and you're a good speaker, so I know God will bless your decision.
We brought our sons up in God's Word, and the oldest is now in a Christian university. Witnessing for the Lord, I've had people threaten me and call me names, but our ministry has grown, and our literature has been translated into other languages. To both Jew and Gentile, I quote from Ephesians chapter 2, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father."
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listening friend, if you would like to receive God's gift of faith and salvation in Christ, pray with us now. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and lives to save me now. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you for giving me eternal life through him. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please, let us know you prayed, and we'll send you some literature to help you walk in new life. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3072. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd love to know you listen, so please write soon. We value your input. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Discouraged? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-492-9410.